You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Like 52 weeks out of the year, you'll get a sermon on a Sunday. Throughout the week, some of you will listen to podcasts, which then means you'll get another 52 if you listen to one a week. If you listen to two a week, you just do the math because I can't work that fast. 104, somewhere in there. But if you think about how much information we get, the question that I would have is it changing us? Or is it just like a snack where we're just like, I just got to eat. I got to eat. And we don't know if it's healthy or not. It's just that we just got to eat. And so my assignment today is to not just jump to something else. I want us to now lean on what we've been talking about. So we broke down the vision of our church by paralleling it with a giant in the faith. But we didn't just leave the giants in the faith in heaven. We said that amongst us, there are giants that if we connected with them, like in a small group, we could actually hear their story and it would challenge us. Yeah. We talked about Paul. Then last week we talked about Nehemiah and we just began to run with Nehemiah. Today, I want to hearken in on, hearken, that's an old school right there. I want to hearken in. I want to focus on the one element of our vision statement. We said that we build dreams, we ignite faith, we establish leaders, and we win the lost for the kingdom of God. The very first week, we said that it's never been about us. It's never been about you. It's all for God's glory. And we broke down what it meant to build dreams. We said that when we talk about building dreams here at City Place Church, we're talking about the activation of God's voice, which leads us to his purpose, his plan, his people for his glory. Are you with me? So when we're in this environment of building dreams, you dream about the house and then in the job, yes. But if that's the only thing we dream about, then it's just selfish, which then it brings it back to us and it's never been about us. But we are focused on God's purpose, God's plan, his people for his glory. I want to stay there today. Because if you hear activate God's voice, if you're like me sometimes, you might be like, well, how do I do it? You with me? So if we're going to talk about this is what we do, I feel like we need to break it down so that when we go after the world, what we were talking about last week, we said the division for City Place Church for 2019 is that we want to see 100% growth in City Place Church. The reason why is because we are number 9 and number 10 in the unchurched cities in America. So when we say 100% growth, what we're saying is God, use us to bring down that stat. We want to be out of the top 10. So no matter how many campuses we need, no matter how many seats we need, God, the burden has to fall on us as a church that people really are going to hell. The reality is, as you and I sit here, someone will die today and they will go to hell because they didn't accept Jesus. It falls on you and I's shoulder no matter what we may think. Are you with me? So in this season, what we're asking God to do is give us a spirit of radical evangelism. We have got to see our city fall out of the top 10. And we're saying, God, we will be one of those churches that will not be about us. Because I had my number. God, I want to see this many people. And God's like, if you say that number, it'll become about you. City Place Church wants to see. That's why we want to plant multiple campuses. How many is that? We want to see multiple generations. How many is that? We want to raise up multiple leaders. How many is that? If we go after everyone, that's the reason why you see our team wearing everyone's shirts. Stand up. Will you model it for me? Thank you. This is Eddie. Eddie is taking over too much. Eddie's eating into my time. Eddie was only asked to stand up, but Eddie took it upon himself. I'm just kidding. Hey, Project Runway. Eddie, please sit down. Eddie, you're standing up again. I'm just kidding. So you see our team. I used to be known as a class clown. My mom would say, you trying to be funny or something? You trying to be funny or something? Now, since my mom's here, yes, I was, lady. She's on the front row. See, God uses poor behavior to change people's lives. So we want radical evangelism this year. But the only way we can do it, remember, you might remember, and I encourage you to go back, is that free people will free people, disciple people will disciple people, if we realize that God really wants to use us and it's not about us. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus, Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read a little bit, but then we're going to go through our message notes. And the reason why I want to take a little bit of time here is because I want God's voice to be active in our life. That's our vision. And if you're planting yourself here at City Place, then it has to be active in your life so that when we go out and we're ministering to the people in our community and we're bringing down this stat, we want to be ready to go to where we tell them if Jesus loves them, it's because we believe it and we're assured of it. Exodus chapter 3. I said 3. Exodus chapter 3. Did I say 3 or 33? 3. Exodus chapter 3, 4 through 12 says this. So when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and he said, I'm sorry, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good land, which is large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Boy, there's a lot of sites, isn't it? Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We love you with all of our heart. We thank you that we get to dream big dreams because of the activation of your voice. We thank you for our church. We thank you that lives are going to be changed today. Use us to impact our city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Exodus chapter 3, God comes to Moses through a burning bush, if you begin at the start of the chapter. And it says that the bush is consumed, but it's not burning down. It's not burning out. And Moses, in his instinct, turns to look, and God says, hold, before you look, take your sandals off. You are encountering me. Something is being activated in your life today that has never been done before. To get us to this place, we've got to go a few chapters earlier because Moses is put in a basket. He's sent to Pharaoh's house. When he finds out that he is Jew, he feels like he's supposed to do something, and so he commits murder against an Egyptian because he's now trying to find his identity. Because he's a Jewish boy who grew up in an Egyptian house, he kills an Egyptian when they're starting to fight and beat the Jew. And so he kills him, throws the guy over a cliff, and runs. He runs to the wilderness. While he's out there, he meets a girl named Zipporah, and he marries her. And he lands in her dad's house named Jethro. That gets us to number 3. In number 3, he's by himself. God visits him through this bush, and he speaks to him, and he says, the past is not what I'm focused on. Your future is what I want to lean into. But it's the first time Moses is hearing God clearly. It starts off with something that is like, whoa, what is going on, to where it's narrowed down to where he says, don't pay attention to the bush. Pay attention to the fact that I'm speaking to you. Can I tell you that in the flamboyance of our life, we might be looking for God to do something dramatic, but even in the dramatic, God says, push aside the dramatic and realize that I'm speaking to you. In the dramatic, God has something to say. And he doesn't want us to focus on the dramatic. He wants us to focus on the fact that he's saying something to you. So he says, hey, let me just kind of paint the picture here. Everything that you see here now, I want you to push aside because you're in my presence. What he was really saying is, Moses, I'm activating my voice to you today. I want you to focus on the fact that I'm speaking to you. Y'all got that? We're going to pause right there. Now go over to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Exodus 33, 7 says this. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside of the camp. That was their church. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at the tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people arose and worshiped, each man at his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but Joshua, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Let's keep going. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all of the people upon the face of the earth. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go? So we shall be separate, your people and I. I read that for a second time. That's awesome. Verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I will know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Let me break it, bookend. Exodus chapter 3, God activates his voice. We go 30 chapters deeper. Moses is asking for God's presence. Okay, watch. Verse chapter 3, activation of God's voice. 30 chapters later, Moses is asking for God's presence. Can I catch y'all up? Moses is dealing with a group of people called the Israelites. Along every journey, the people are complaining. That complaint sends Moses back to God, which means that every single moment of his day, in the highs and the lows, Moses keeps going back to God because God had activated his voice. So when Moses starts out on the journey towards God's purpose and destiny, the one thing that he doesn't leave behind is his interaction with God. You with me? So through the highs and the lows, Moses says, the one thing that I need is your voice. When we get to chapter 33, we find that Moses has set up a church. Moses is going into church, and the Bible says that Moses has gotten so close to God that it's not in a bush anymore, and it's not just his voice. He is face to face. It's one thing to activate God's voice. It's another thing to desire his presence. You with me? So when we're talking about building dreams, igniting faith, we're not just talking about hearing God's voice only so that I can hear him. We're talking about pushing us closer and closer to his presence to where we can get as close as possible to who he is. When he is this close, I will never doubt if he's talking to me or if he speaks. Are you with me? Chapter 3, the bush. Don't focus on the bush. Focus on my voice. 30 chapters later, I need your presence. Moses talked to God face to face. That leads me to believe that through the highs and the lows of the Israelites complaining and the wins and the losses, Moses said, I have to draw closer and closer and closer to you. But it all started with a bush that if Moses wasn't careful, Moses would always be looking for the bush. But God said, don't focus on the bush. Focus on the fact that I'm talking to you. Are you with me? So when we're in a service and the God's presence is moving and the worship is amazing, don't run home and just turn on your CD player and you're just trying to recapture that moment because the worship was good. Focus on the fact that he spoke to you. If you're in one of those church services and you're like, woo, the presence of God was there. Was he now? Or was it that he spoke to you? What we're really saying when we say the presence of God was here, what we were saying was there was something activated in me. Because if I'm not careful and it doesn't look the same in the service the next week, the worship's not very good. I didn't feel him. Oh, you didn't, huh? Or was it because I'm used to this and that and it's the burning bush and God's like, whoa, don't look at the bush. I'm talking to you. So through the highs and the lows, Moses keeps going back to God, even in his frustration. I'm tired of these stiff-necked people. All them day, all they doing, they just bother me. He still kept going back to the ones whose voice was activated. And if you read Exodus 3 all the way through, God never stops talking. I'm tired of these people. Lord, don't get tired of them yet. Moses, I'm tired of these people. God, don't get tired of them yet. When God activates his voice in you, it's not so that you and I can be like, whoo. It's so that you and I can say, I wonder how close I can really get. Face to face. Face to face. As a friend. Watch now. If you and I aren't careful, he'll only be God, which could be frightening. Do you love me? We should know. Will you answer my prayer? We should know. If we're on the outside trying to look in, the men and the women stood at the door. What y'all think's happening there? Moses goes in there and he doesn't come out for a while. Can you see? I don't know. I can see a little something. It's a little cloudy. Cloud. I wonder what's going on. But the Bible says that Moses leaned in so much. Oh, hey. How you doing today? Can you imagine? Our quiet time with the Lord. And he's like, listen, I got some things that I can only tell you. That's the reason why you're this close. I don't know about you guys, but if I could get here, I don't think I would worry about too much. I would never question if he talks to me if I get here. You know what this takes? This takes a commitment to what he activated in Exodus chapter 3. God says, Moses, it's not about you, but I'm going to use you. Do you know what Moses says? Okay. Moses could have been like, let's go, but he had already tried it. He threw the man over the cliff. When God activated his voice, Moses said, you know what? It's not about me. And you can listen, you read, you finish. He'd be like, but I'm young. I don't know, what am I going to say? And God's like, I got to answer for that. I got to answer for that. Don't worry about that. You can use your brother. I got that taken care of. When you go to Pharaoh, don't worry. Use your staff. Here's what I'm going to do. God is talking so much to where Moses never has to worry about a thing. But I'm worried about, hey, I'm still here. Don't worry about that. Face to face. So I wrote this down. And you guys can write this down. We need presence, not just practice. We need presence. Not just practice. The bush is burning. Woo! Hey! Yes! No. 30 chapters later. If your presence doesn't go with us. It's one thing about the voice, but since I'm seeing you face to face, don't let this just happen up here in this church. Don't let this just happen up in this tabernacle. If your presence ain't walking with us, please tell me now, because I'm going to stay right here. We need presence over practice. We don't need to just do some sort of religious thing. This is not religion. This is relationship. All of us could fake it. All of us. Right now, I can, and the Lord said, I can do all of that. Or I can say, come on, y'all feel him in this place. He's here right now. I can do all sorts of things in my flesh. But when his presence is here, none of us is in control. You'll know. There's a difference. There's a calmness. There's a peace. Moses says, everything that's happening between you and I, as I lead, please don't let this just be private moments. I need your presence over just practice. We set up the tabernacle. I go in. But please tell me that that's not just one-time thing. We need your presence over practice. Can I tell you, you need God's presence over just a quiet time with him? You need his presence over just reading your Bible. You need your presence over just going to work in the morning. You need his presence to go with you. You don't just need to do a spiritual routine. I was in a class this morning. I was telling them, there's sometimes in my own life where I do routine. And I've been praying, Lord, I want the child Damon to be with you during the day. Do you know why? Because it wasn't scripted. When I went out and I was playing basketball, literally, my mom would always say, she said, Damon, before you go out there, you invite the Holy Spirit to go with you. He ain't lacing up no sneakers. But what she was saying is, don't ever disconnect. So before every game, I'd be like, God, I just need you today. Jesus, come and play with me. Have fun, Jesus. As a kid, as a teenager. But when I get to an adult, sometimes I go in and I'm trying to do the craziest thing, going to buy some groceries. I need to be like, Lord, please let the people with 45 items get in the right lane. Walk with me. If your presence doesn't go, I will never come back to Walmart. If your presence doesn't go with me today. Anybody else like that? Are you that person? 11 items disqualifies you from the 10-hour lane. Even though they're aspirins. Doesn't count. If his presence doesn't go, we're just practicing. If you and I deem what we do is insignificant throughout the day, well, I don't really need him, then we're just practicing. What would happen if you and I made him a whole part? Like, what if we made him the leader and we're going to buy a car, and instead of being like, I just like that one, we'd be like, Lord Jesus, I'm going to buy this car today. Let's go. Like, let's just hang. You like the red one? You like the blue? I know that sounds real crazy, right? It does sound crazy. But what I'm saying is, what if he was just hanging out with us? What if it wasn't about the practice? I talk to you in the morning at 7 a.m. I get up at 7 a.m. and I walk and I pray. Well, what do you do with him through the rest of the day? Like, what if he was like a part of the whole day? Moses says, it's not just good enough in the morning. It's not just good at night. If your presence doesn't go, I'm not moving anywhere else. Like, don't even send this out if you don't go. Like, and God had told him, my presence is going with you. But Moses is like, I just want to confirm that if we walk out here, I'm talking about your presence. I'm not talking about I'm with you. No. I'm talking about you going too. Y'all all right? Romans 8:11 says this, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. How awesome is that? If he is who he said he is, let him be who he said he is. Let him go at it. Let him come alive in you. Like, take him with you everywhere you go. Second thing, write this down. We need an encounter, not just an explanation. Yes, my presence will go with you. Yes, I'm going to go with you. Of course I will. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That verse doesn't go with that, by the way. That's old. My presence will go with you. Moses says, we don't just need the explanation. I need an encounter. When you continue on through the verses that I read, Moses says, show me your glory. God, he asked for God's presence. God said, I'm going to give you the presence. Moses then says, hey, I don't just need like just the verbiage. You're coming, right? Now what I need you to do is I need you to prove it. He says, I'm asking for your presence. You said you give it to me. Now, since you said you give it to me, I don't just want to just hear you say it. I want you to show me. Y'all all right? So Moses says, in this moment, I need you to prove that your presence is going to bring about an encounter. I don't know about y'all. I'm glad that God speaks to you. But I want the Lord to speak to me. Anybody else? Like, I'm glad that you can say in every sentence, the Lord spoke to me, the Lord spoke to me, the Lord spoke to me. But there are moments when sometimes I'm trying to question, is he speaking to me? Anybody else where you're like, Lord, can I hear you okay? So Moses says, explanation, yes, your presence is gone. I need an encounter. Show me your glory. The glory, the word glory there means the splendor and majesty of who you are. Moses says, I've asked you for your presence. You said yes. But I love his boldness because the only way that Moses gets here is because he didn't get stuck in Exodus 3 where it was the burning bush. He kept leaning into God through the highs and the lows. He's meeting God on the mountaintop and the cloud's coming. But Moses doesn't stop there. He says, there's got to be more. I'm already face to face, but what else is there that I haven't seen? He says, there's one thing. I need your presence over the practice. I don't just need an explanation. I need an encounter. Show me your glory. Show me and you, the splendor and majesty of who you are. I want you to write this down. Exodus 33 and Exodus 34. Exodus 33 and Exodus 34. That's your homework. I want you to read Exodus 33 and Exodus 34. Because watch, as you continue on throughout the story, God says, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, okay, now I can't show you my natural face. He says, but what I'm going to do, I want you to meet me downstairs. I love it. This is how it came to me. I want you to meet me downstairs. What I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of carve out a spot in the rock. I'm going to pick you up literally in the morning, just like, and I'm going to put you right beside me. And he says, what's going to happen is my goodness is going to pass through you. You got to read Exodus 33 and 34. It goes down. For real. That's the song. So he walks by him, and we preached on this before. He walks by him, and God gives Moses an encounter, not just an explanation. An explanation. Because Moses was hungry enough to say, your presence you gave me, now what I want to see it activated in my life, I want to see more of you. I need my own encounter. Moses is already going into his presence. Why would he ask for more? Because don't just focus on the clouds. Focus on my presence and the fact that I'm talking to you. So Moses stayed hungry because every moment that he had with God, God was activating something new. So he started off with a bush, ended up in a tabernacle, and he gets in the tabernacle and he says, God, I'm going to push aside the clouds. I'm hearing your voice. Can you show me something else that I haven't seen before? Because if I'm not careful, this will become practice. I need your presence and I need an encounter. Y'all all right? What I'm trying to tell us is when God activates us, he's activating it continuously. So when we say we're building dreams, igniting faith, when we come in here on the weekend, what we're trying to do every single week is pull you closer and closer to his presence. So here's what's needed from you all and from us. We have got to come in like, what is going to happen today? Pastor Damon, he better be ready. Pastor Ty, he better be ready. Whoever it is, they better be ready, because all week I've been pushing closer through the highs and the lows. So when I come back into God's house, I am like, God, I need your presence today. I don't need practice. God, I'm coming into your house today. I don't just need Damon's explanation. I need an encounter with you. Look, if we come in here, I'm telling you, the 9 and the 10 ranking in Orlando won't be the same. So we're here, and we're fired up. Moses says, show it to me. God says, you asked for it, you got it. Can I declare to you today, if you asked for it, you got it. But you got to be willing to meet him in the morning, in the evening, whenever he says, I'm coming to pick you up. Read Exodus 33 and 34. I promise you, you'll love it. Here's the last thing. And this will play with that homework I just gave you. We need power, not just words. We need power, not just words. We need power, not just words. Read Exodus 33, Exodus 34. It says, picks Moses up, puts him down, and as he's walking in front of Moses, he says, I am the Lord strong. I am the Lord mighty. I am the Lord in splendor. He says, I'm the one that brings down the iniquities of generations. I'm the one that plants people and they last forever. He says, I am the Lord God. You got to read it. And he's walking by and he's showing Moses who he is. What he's saying is, you want to know how strong I am? Let me show you. He says, Moses, you asked for an encounter. Your secret desire is you want power. You want power over words. You don't just want my voice. You want an encounter, yes, but you want to really know who I am. And he says, power over words. Can I tell you that in our relationship with God, it starts off with a voice activation. I need to get in a relationship with God. It's because God spoke, now's your day to change. Now's your day to come into a relationship with me. Activation. Some of you, I need to change that. I need to push into God's presence. Activation. When you leave here today, we'll determine if you take a step closer to his presence or if today was just an explanation. If we just practice service today, or if we want his presence all week. If we practice his presence and when we go to him, we want an encounter. But what do we want when we get there? I want to experience his power. So when we're preaching on the weekends, when we're talking about building dreams, igniting faith, establishing leaders, win the loss, the first thing that we're going to do as a church is we want to activate God's voice. Activate God's voice. Activate God's voice. I'm wrapping up. I think I'm going to stop right there. Can I finish next week? Is that all right? Next week, I'm going to give you the barriers. The barriers that will block God's voice. This week, we're just going to lay the foundation. Too much is too much, right? You'd be like, what did he say? I forgot about that. What was point number one? And you have it written down. Here's what we need. And then next week, we'll dive into barriers. But here's what I'd like for you to do. Can you just, where's Jorge? Can you hop on the piano real fast, Jorge? And we're going to wrap up. I want everyone to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head. Jorge is going to play. And I want you to have 30 seconds with the Lord. I want you to have 30 seconds with him, and here's what I want you to say. I need your presence. I need your presence. And I just want you to sit there. We're not going to do any sort of religious routine. This is just going to be between you and the Lord. I need your presence. He's going to play. I need your presence. The flamboyant part is the piano's playing. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Because that's the shifty atmosphere. It's just a shifty atmosphere. I need your presence. I need your presence. God, I need to hear your voice. So clear. Maybe it's the first time, God. God, I need to know that you're activating something in me. God, I don't just want practice. I want your presence. I don't just want an explanation. God, I need an encounter. God, not just words, but I need your power.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.